Well, amen. Let's get going. Good morning, everyone. Our fall class topic is heaven. So let's continue to encourage people to come to class, because this is going to be very encouraging next few weeks through the end of the year. All kinds of great stuff that we are going to see about God's promises about heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that we can look in your word and be encouraged by heaven. Lord, this world is a fallen world, Father, and we see that all around us every day. And we pray for those who are affected by tragedy, that you would encourage them, but help us to look to heaven, God, and help us to encourage each other and to help other people find their way there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the goal of the class, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, is to encourage one another with these words, with the things we're going to learn about heaven, the promises we're going to see, that we encourage each other, that we not just sit here in class and learn about it, but that we talk about it with each other. Talk about it in our fellowship, in our family groups, whenever we're together. Heaven is a great thing to stay focused on. It helps us overcome sin, helps us share our faith, helps us to remain joyful in difficult times, helps us to avoid the allure of the world. And it's great to reach out to family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, fellow students. Just bring other people to this class and tell them about heaven too. Amen. As we talked about last week, what the Bible says about heaven may in some cases be symbolic or metaphorical for something even better than the image it's portraying. Or in some cases, it might be literally true. But either way, it's great. And the main point of our class is to help us see that heaven is a very real, wonderful, amazing, and incredible place. It's not boring. It's not dull, vague, blurry, empty, like many of the images in popular culture. And I want to go there, and I want you to go there too. Amen? And so, as we said last week, this is what we're going to do. We're going to survey different books in the Bible. We started last week in Isaiah. We're going to finish Isaiah today. So you can be turning to Isaiah 26. In Isaiah, heaven is referred to as Zion. Sometimes it's referred to as Jerusalem or, you know, a renewed Jerusalem, but it's often referred to as Zion. And we learned last week that God will prepare in Zion for us a great feast, that he will wipe every tear from our eyes, and that he will destroy death forever. And those are amazing promises. Amazing promises. And we have many more promises to look at today. In some ways, it's overwhelming. But I hope that you will really use your imagination today to think about what is this describing? What will this place be like? And I hope to open it up for lots of discussion. So be ready to jump in. So, John, can you read Isaiah 26, 1 through 4? Amen. Okay, as we mentioned last week, the Bible often refers to heaven as a city. Here it's a strong city, a city that's safe, a city where you will fear nothing, where there will be no harm. It says its walls are salvation and its bulwarks are salvation. So it's a haven from sin. We are saved from sin in heaven. We are protected from evil. It says the gates are open to the righteous who are faithful. Right? God will welcome us home there. We will be welcome home through the gates of heaven. Amen. It says perfect peace. We will be kept in perfect peace. There will be no war there. No conflict. No turmoil. None of that will be there. In Isaiah 9, when it's talking about Jesus, it says of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So imagine a place like that where Jesus is reigning and it goes on forever and there's peace and it just continues and it grows and there's more and more and more. I don't know exactly how, but those are amazing promises. And it says we can trust in the Lord. We can trust in God forever. He's our eternal rock. You know, we're going to be safe and secure with Him throughout all eternity. Amen? Look in verse 19. It says, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is like the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. So Isaiah here prophesies the resurrection. Right? He literally says our dead bodies will rise. The earth will give up her dead, just like it says in Revelation will happen. And, you know, what will that be like to be raised from the dead? You know, what will that be like? Well, we have at least one example in the Bible of a resurrected person, right? What was Jesus like when he was raised from the dead? What could he do? What are the stories tell us that Jesus did after he was raised from the dead? Okay, he could talk to people, interact, have fellowship. He ate food, yes. Right? People could touch him. He offered to let him do that. He could appear and disappear at will. Well, that'd be cool. Beam me up, Scotty. I want to go over there. I don't know if we can do that, but he could do that. Maybe we'll be able to do that. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, it says we will appear with him in the air. Now, maybe that means we'll be able to fly like Superman. You know, I don't know, but it's cool to think about. Jesus said at one point he was not a ghost, but flesh and bones. He was a real, tangible person when he rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. There was no body in there because that body had come out and was walking around. It was a literal, physical resurrection. It was the same body. He still had the nail marks and the spear mark. And it was still the same person raised from the dead and apparently with some new supernatural abilities that maybe the previous Jesus didn't have. And so that's what we look forward to. Something like that, right? We're not going to be a disembodied spirit floating around. We're going to be like Jesus was when he was resurrected. Amen? And I think our resurrected life in heaven is going to be similarly real and substantial and more than this life, not less. You know, the Greek and Roman sort of view of the afterlife was kind of disembodied and pale, but that's not the biblical view of the afterlife, of the resurrected life. It's very real, very substantial. And the city that we will live in is described in tangible ways. Again, some of this may be symbolic, but I believe life in Zion will be more real and rich and full than anything we experience here. Amen? Amen. Okay, turn to Isaiah 35. And Todd, could you read verses 8 through 10? Amen. Well, what good stuff do you see here? What good stuff do you see here about Zion? Okay, no sorrow or sighing. Think about that. No reason to be sorrowful. No reason to sigh anymore. All of that will be gone. I'm sorry? The lame will leap. Yeah, so it's earlier in the chapter, it talks about Jesus and his miracles. Yes, sir?
I guess one thing I see is that there will be a certain character of people. In other words, there won't be what's called wicked fools.
Okay. That's right. You ever have people in your life who are sinful and treat you badly? That won't happen anymore. Yes, ma'am.
Singing and joy.
Singing and joy. Okay. Some people don't like Star Wars Episode 1, but one of my favorite scenes is at the end where they're all celebrating. They're celebrating the victory, and that it's going to be something like that, only better and more. Yes, sir.
Joy.
Just pure happiness. Amen. Everlasting joy. Yes, sir.
No sorrow.
Okay, no sorrow. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, amen. Amen. No traffic. It'll be a good highway, right? No traffic. You'll want to be on this highway, right? And the people that are there, you'll want to be with them.
Well, I guess, you know, it really gives us a picture of no fear because it says no ravenous beasts or wild lions or, you know. So, none of that will be there. I mean, I imagine them being there, but they're tame and, you know.
Right. And we'll see other verses that talk about that. Yes, sir. Yeah. No lions. Amen. Well, that's cool stuff. Well, we got to move on. We have many other verses to cover here. So, amen. I like everlasting joy. I park on that phrase all the time. Just everlasting joy. Amen. Joy is going to be come up several times. Turn to chapter 54. And Russ, if you could read 11 through 17. Amen. You can stop there. Well, this is some more good stuff, okay? It talks again about a city, Zion being a city. And it says it will have foundations and battlements and gates and walls with jewels, right? Precious jewels, sparkling jewels, rubies, turquoise, sapphires, lapis lazuli, whatever that is. I mean, it's really a wonderful picture. And you see this in Revelation 2, where it talks about all the different jewels that heaven will be made out of. And again, I don't know if this is literal. That would be amazing. Or it's metaphorical for something even better. But it certainly sounds great, right? It says, all our sons and daughters will be taught by the Lord. Everyone will be taught by the Lord. We'll all know the right way to live, and we will all live the right way. We'll have great peace. There will be righteousness there. Again, nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. No danger, no harm, no oppression, no terror, no strife, no weapons. There will be nothing to fear. There will simply be nothing to fear. It says every accusation against us will be refuted, right? We will have come through judgment day and God will say, well done. And Satan will be destroyed. He can't accuse us anymore. We'll be free from all accusations. That's a great thing to me. I mean, I sometimes feel accused, but there will be no more accusations. We will be vindicated by the Lord. Amen? Again, a wonderful, amazing place made with the most beautiful materials, full of righteousness, peace, no fear. I want to go there. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm going to read a longish passage here, and then we can have some more discussion. So look for the good stuff. Verse 11. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you. All who despise you shall bow down at your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace, your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall be heard no more in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation, your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least shall become a clan, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. So what good stuff do we see here? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, the gates are open. Yes, sir. Amen. None of that. No bad news. Yes, sir. Yeah. God will be there, always shedding light on everything. And no darkness, no time of fear or worry or anxiety. No uncertainty. Yes, sir. Yeah. That might be, or it's just referring to judgment. They're going to lose out in judgment. We'll be saved. Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, like today, well, my translation says overseers, and that's what I am, an elder, a bishop, an overseer. And but it says then and your overseers will be righteous instead of people like me. So that's going to be, you're going to be trading up. That's going to be good. It says, talks about the wealth of nations, right? The wealth of nations. It talks about Lebanon's wood being brought into the city. And if you go back and read the whole chapter, it lists all kinds of products from different nations. You know, it lists gold and frankincense and silver, and it lists animals like camels and rams and flocks. I mean, it sort of suggests there'll be commerce, you know, that the new earth, you know, will bring all of its good stuff to Zion. And, you know, again, I don't know if this is literally true, that there'll be all this good stuff there. You know, all kinds of the good things from around the world will be brought into Zion. Or it's just metaphorical for something even better. But it really is a rich picture when you think about it. And it talks about kings in procession. You know, it suggests there'll be parades. You know, there'll be celebrations. There'll be, you know, it's not going to be a boring place. Okay, there's going to be lots of things going on. Lots of things to see. Lots of things to experience. Lots of things to participate in. I mean, it's going to be a richer place to live than any city here on earth. Right? New York, London, L.A., any city you might think of as having lots of cultural and rich things to do. It's going to be better than any of that. And it's, you know, it's not going to have any sin. It's not going to have any bad parts of town. You know, it's just amazing when you start, you know, using your imagination. I've been reading a book on heaven by Randy Alcorn. If you want to read deeper on heaven, go find it. It's just, the name of the book is Heaven. Author's Randy Alcorn. And he uses his imagination, and there's just all kinds of wild stuff he thinks that some of these scriptures might mean. And it's just really cool to think about it. Amen? Amen. So it says, we will inherit the land or possess the land forever. You know, Jesus said the meek would inherit the earth. You know, we're going to inherit something. The land, the earth, you know, we're going to all have our own property. I don't know. Our own mansion, our own place. We are going to inherit. We're going to have a rich inheritance there. Things that we will be able to enjoy that are given to us by God. Amen. You may have noticed as we read through this that there are many parallels in this chapter with Revelation. So I put them up there. The gates are always open. That's in Revelation. Wealth and glory of the nations being brought in. That's in Revelation. City of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Similar terminology in Revelation. The city of gold, that's in Revelation. Neither the sun nor the moon, but the Lord will be the light. That's in Revelation. All days of sorrow ending, that's in Revelation. And possess the land forever. Receive the earth, that's in Revelation. So a lot of parallels here to Revelation, which we will get to later in this class. Amen? Amen. Okay. So pick out something that just really encourages you here from all these promises. You know, whatever speaks to your heart the most, grab hold of that and just really, you know, dwell on it, and let's encourage one another with these words. Amen? Okay, Alex, can you read? Is that the one I gave you? No. I gave you 17, right? Yes. Start in 17. Don't start in 11. Amen. Again, just more good stuff. Some of it repeating what we've already heard, and some of it new. Just lots of good things. It says we won't remember the past. I don't think that literally means our memories will be wiped. If you read the previous verse, it's in the context of God not remembering our sins. I think it means we won't have any regrets. You know, the things that we might have done in the past that were sinful, we won't have any regrets anymore. Those will all be forgiven. They'll be washed away in the joy that we will experience. And it says Jerusalem will be a joy, its people a gladness. Well, that'll be us. We're going to be there. We're going to be part of that city. No more weeping. We've heard that several times. It says no one will die. You know, no one will die young. I think it's just metaphorical. No one's going to die. Right? We're going to live as long as a tree, which, again, I think it's metaphorical. We're going to live forever. You know, trees live a very long time. We're going to enjoy our own houses and vineyards. No one to take them away. Okay, there won't be any rent. There won't be any mortgage payments. Okay, no eviction, no foreclosure, none of that stuff. Okay, you will, whatever place Jesus has prepared for you, it will be yours, and you will enjoy it forever. It says we will long enjoy the works of our hands. You know, I think there'll be new things to do in heaven, new things to make. You know, whatever you're good at, you'll be able to do more of it there. You know, if you're artistic, you'll be able to be more artistic. If you're literary, you'll be able to be more literary. If you're athletic, you'll be able to be more athletic. You know, whatever you're good at, you know, I think we will be able to continue to do those kinds of things in heaven to the glory of God, even more and more and more. It says the Lord will hear us while we're still speaking. You know, sometimes in this life, we have to wait for God's answers. You know, there we won't have to wait. He'll be right there. He'll be answering before we finish the question. He's always going to be there. And it says the wonderful image, the wolf and the lamb grazing together, the lion eating straw like an ox. I mean, again, this could be a wonderful metaphorical symbolic vision of just peace and no harm and no danger. Or it could be literally true that God is just going to make all the carnivores into herbivores and you know, all animals will be safe to be around. And, you know, young children can lead what were dangerous animals here, like a pet. They're not going to hurt or destroy. You know, it's just going to be a wonderful place. Again, you just can't keep saying that. You know, it's a wonderful, amazing, incredible place. So many different promises that God makes that we can just let them sink in and marinate and meditate and encourage one another with these words. Amen. Okay, 66. We're getting near the end of the book. Longest book in the Bible, I think. Alan, can you read 10 through first half of 14? Amen. Well, what do you see here? What encourages you here? We're just all blown away by encouragement. It's too much. Amen. God taking care of us, meeting every need. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Be great. You know, it says here, we will flourish like grass. You know, again, I think, or it says your bones will flourish like the grass. I think, you know, again, life there is not just going to be some static condition. We'll get there and it'll be the same. We'll be flourishing. You know, we'll be healthy. We'll be, you know, growing. There'll be new things to see and learn and do. You know, it's going to be a rich experience. Bill? Amen. That's right. Peace will be overwhelming. Joy will be overwhelming. It's just good stuff. One thing I wanted to mention, and we'll sort of close out. Back in 65:17, it says, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And it repeats that in 66:25. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to moon moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me. I'll get there. You know, the Bible says here, and it says it again in Revelation, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And then it'll be a new Jerusalem, Zion, that will come down from heaven. It's going to be a new place. It's, you know, it's going to bear some resemblance to this place, but it's going to be a new place that God will create. A new heaven, a new earth, a new city that we get to live in. And we can look forward to that. And we can know that it's going to be a great place, a perfect place, a place that fulfills all these promises we've been reading about. And we're going to continue to read about them, you know, over the ensuing weeks of this class and other books of the Bible. So I hope it tremendously encourages us, that it will encourage each other. And I thought I would close out with the words of this song. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. A city with foundations firm as the eternal throne, nor wars nor desolations shall ever move a stone. No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing with glorified immortals the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O lovely Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Amen. Let's pray, and then we can go get our kids and come back and worship God. And I heard a rumor we might hear more about heaven.